Hello and welcome to our midweek reflection here at Redington Baptist Church. Today's reflection is on Micah chapter 6 verses 1 to 8 with the title, God Will Restore Us, But How Will We Respond? Before coronavirus struck, Redington Baptist Church had been following a series of sermons going through the book of Micah, and we'd got up to the end of chapter 5. I considered ending this series at this point, but I think it's important to round things off. And so in this midweek reflection, we're going to bring our time studying the book of Micah to an end by looking at Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And so pause this recording now and take some time to read this passage for yourself. It's Micah 6, verses 1 to 8. As we've already discovered in this series, Micah is a book of judgment and of restoration. On three occasions, Micah casts judgment on the people of Israel for the way that they're living their lives. He calls them out, mentioning their idol worship, their drunkenness, the ill treatment of the poor, and the corruption of those in power, amongst other things. The people of Israel have turned their backs on God, and now they face the consequences of their actions. God doesn't want to punish his people. He wants to restore them. But for this to happen, something radical needs to happen. For the people to take seriously their need for repentance. At this time, the Israelites had two powerful neighbours, the Babylonians and the Assyrians, who were threatening to attack. In response to the sin of the people, God says he will remove his protection from them, allowing these neighbours to invade. The land will be destroyed and the Israelites will face a time of exile in a foreign land. It seems harsh that a loving God would punish his people and allow them to suffer in this way. But the Israelites have brought this upon themselves. The only way for restoration to come about was through the pain of exile. This reminds me a lot of childbirth, new life coming through the pain of labour. It also reminds me of the death of Jesus on the cross. The pain he endured paved the way for us to have new and everlasting life. And so, this is the context of Micah chapter 6. The Israelites have been called out by Micah and are now having to face up to this prophecy predicting their downfall, the downfall of their nation and a time of suffering in exile. In this chapter, the Israelites respond by wanting to make things right with God and to do that quickly in order to avoid punishment. So let's take a look at this passage and see what happens next. There are three different voices at play in the verses we're looking at. In the first two verses and in the last verse, Micah is speaking, directing what he's saying at the people of Israel. And then in verses 3 to 5, God is speaking through Micah to the people. And in verses 6 and 7, the people of Israel are responding to the accusations that have been put against them. So Micah begins in verses 1 and 2 by reminding the people of the judgment that's facing them. He says, "The Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel." This is a not so gentle reminder to the Israelites that they're under judgment and will be facing the consequences of their sin, that they're going to be sent into exile, just as has been prophesied in previous chapters. And this is an unsettling and troubling reminder. But God, in the verses that follow, wants to bring comfort to his people. He starts by asking them a question. What have I done to you? In other words, God is saying, what have I ever done to you? What wrong have I done? How have I caused you pain or acted in a way towards you that's unjust? And he follows this question with reminders of the times when he has redeemed and restored his people from slavery and captivity and from suffering. In verse 4, he says, "I, God, brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. It was I, God, who sent Moses and Aaron and Miriam to lead you through this time." In verse 5, God then reminds the people of a significant time in their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, when God, through his faithfulness, delivered them and saved them, despite their unfaithfulness towards him. They're led to recall their journey from Shittim to Gilgal. Shittim was the last place the Israelites stayed before crossing the River Jordan and entering into the Promised Land. There was a king called Balak, who was the king of Moab, and he feared the Israelites and didn't want them to succeed. And so he plots for another man called Balaam to cast a curse on them. But Balaam refuses to curse God's people. This story can be found in Numbers chapters 22 to 24. But Balak doesn't give up in his plot. And at Shittim, he enticed the Israelite men into sexual immorality with Moabite women. And these women then encourage the Israelite men to worship their false gods. Once again, the Israelites turn their back on God. And once again, God saves them, sending a plague on the Moabites and leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. This is a story very similar to the context Micah is writing into. The people are threatened with captivity, and God promises to deliver them. The people to continue in their sin, and they're unfaithful to God. But God is always faithful, and promises to save and restore and to redeem his people. And so in these verses from Micah, God is reminding his people of his faithfulness to them in the past. And he points to some very difficult times in their history in order to help them to understand that he is on their side and that he will deliver and restore them when the time is right. In the next two verses, the Israelites respond to the charges against them. They start by asking questions of God. What must we do to be saved? What do we have to do to escape this time of punishment? Is it enough for us to bow down and worship God? Perhaps if we sacrifice animals or oil to God, he might forgive us. They even go as far as offering their firstborn children as sacrifices in return for God's favour. But in doing all of this, they miss the point and don't understand how God is at work in their situation. You see, God doesn't go back on his word. He's already told them how restoration will come about through the destruction of their land and a time in exile. God isn't going to give them a quick fix way out of that. The people look to God to save them, but they don't understand that their path to redemption is through the pain of exile. God doesn't need their animal or human sacrifices because his mercy and his forgiveness are already promised. But I don't think the Israelites really want to recognise God's forgiveness. They just want to avoid the pain and suffering of this time of exile. But God is like a good parent. He knows that you don't go back on your word. And part of loving your children is setting boundaries and holding them responsible for their actions. At the heart of this passage, I believe, is an understanding of true repentance. The Israelites want a quick fix that means they don't have to face their punishment, whereas God is taking them down a path that will lead them to a change of heart. God wants repentance that leads to lasting change. And this can be seen in the final words in verse 8 of this chapter. The Israelites have asked all these questions about how to be saved, whether they need to worship more or sacrifice something in order to receive forgiveness. But Micah provides them with a clearer answer. God has shown you, O mortals, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? That you act justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. God doesn't need or want their empty acts of worship bowing down before him, or their useless sacrifices. God has already forgiven them and promised them restoration. Instead, God wants a change of heart that will make a lasting difference in the way that people live and the way that they treat one another. If God had just accepted an animal sacrifice and cancelled the exile, the people of Israel would simply have returned to their destructive way of life, of injustice, oppression, corruption, and idol worship. But by allowing them to endure the pain of the exile, God gives them the perfect opportunity to practice a new way of life and to learn to live out this instruction of acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly. This passage doesn't raise the question of salvation and whether God will save them. God will save. He has promised to deliver his people and to restore them to their land. Rather, this is a passage about true repentance, a lasting change of heart instead of a quick fix solution. God is faithful to his people and he promises to save them, but the future is in their hands. How will they choose to live? And will they make the most of their time in exile? Studying this passage has led me to consider in greater depth this time that we're currently facing, spending time in isolation and under lockdown because of coronavirus. This could be seen as a form of exile. Many aspects of our lives and freedom have been taken away from us, and we're living in a strange and foreign landscape. I was asked by someone the other day whether I think God is judging or even punishing us. This is a really hard question. My personal view from studying the book of Micah and looking at the rest of the Bible as well is that God is more concerned with restoring us and redeeming us than he is for punishing us. I certainly believe that God is at work in our current context. During this time, I believe we've seen glimpses of God's kingdom breaking through. We've seen a restored sense of unity, a greater level of compassion and love for our neighbour, an increased concern for those who are lonely or poor or in need. It's caused governments and businesses and charities and religious groups and even individuals to work together as one. This isn't to mention the positive impact this time is having on the natural world, with a massive decrease in levels of pollution. Our prayer at this time might be similar to the Israelites. God, deliver us from this difficult time. Save us. Forgive us. Well, I want us to remember that God's promise of deliverance and restoration and redemption and salvation is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because Jesus died on the cross and rose again, we can have life in all its fullness. His promise of redemption and salvation is ours already. And so may I suggest that our prayer during this time should be something different and should perhaps be more like this. Lord God, I pray that you would use this time of exile to change our hearts. Teach us as individuals, as a nation, and as a world to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, so that your kingdom may come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God will restore us. But how will we respond? Will we use this time in exile to practice Micah 6 verse 8? This is what the Lord requires of us, that we act justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's see a lasting change, not a quick fix solution. God bless you this week. Amen.